Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Hello, welcome to this episode of the Music Matters podcast. By the time this airs, we will have all had a few weeks of school under our belt. I think the excitement and energy of the first week and the newness may have worn off for some. And this episode was intentionally selected and placed for right now to help you remember why. Why are we doing this? Why are we getting crazy and being innovative with how we're teaching? Why do we all still feel like first-year teachers in this very strange time? I'm stoked to bring you this research. Yes, I said research, but don't you dare turn off this podcast just because I said research. You're about to hear one of my dearest friends. Dr. David Langley teaches at Georgia Southern, which is right up the road from where I live in Savannah. And he brings excitement and joy and application to academic research like no one I've ever met before. He gets excited about saying words like qualitative and quantitative and data. I'm not quite there yet in my doctoral journey, but I'm guessing that comes with age. I don't know. Ask David. David did a research study on RISE Chorales, my community choir here in Savannah, when we started five-ish years ago. And he came in seeking to find out why do people do community choirs. And the research that he found is tangible and usable. I ask you this before you listen. What brought you to where you are right now? And what keeps you there? Don't worry. We're going to unpack it right now. Today on the show, we are welcoming Dr. David Langley. Hi, David.
Hi, Emmy. It's so wonderful to be here with you.
I'm so glad you're here. What's crazy is you are one of the closest people I've interviewed. You are a Savannah person. You work at Georgia Southern right up the road. You are so close, but yet so far away.
I know, but you know what? If talking through a podcast and through Zoom is what we can do right now, I will take it.
Amen. You are so positive, and I wish the people could see your smile because that's one of my favorite features. You have just the brightest smile, and I love talking to you. And you work with Shannon Jeffries, and I think the three of us, when we talk in one bubble, it's like so much energy that it could light the world on fire.
We are too much for everyone else, and that's why we have each other.
It's a lot. It's a lot, and it's awesome. There's some photos from Southern Invitational last fall when you guys had me up there that I think literally have sparkles coming out through the photos without ever having added animation.
No filter necessary. I love it.
No filter necessary. So for those people listening who don't have the pleasure of seeing your smile, can you give us the elevator pitch? Who is Dr. David Langley?
Sure, absolutely. I'm Associate Professor of Music Education and Associate Director of Choir at Georgia Southern University on the Statesboro campus. And I've been here for, this is year seven, which is amazing to think about. I can't believe it's been this long. But I come from 13 years of public school teaching. And so I taught in elementary and high school, as well as church choirs in the Atlanta area before I came to the university level.
We're so glad that you're here. Well, I remember when you got hired. I remember when Dr. Jeffries was hired first because I was already in Savannah and everyone was talking about this vivacious director at Southern. And then she let me know that she hired you and she just, oh, she was so excited. And I knew the second I met you that I didn't even know that was your name. And I'm like, oh, that's definitely Dr. Langley.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very sweet.
I'm really thankful because we've had opportunities to collaborate, but also exchange course syllabi. We teach some of the same classes, and you were a huge help as I was working through the doctorate. So let's tell people the academic side of this conversation.
Why, yes.
What are we going to talk about, Dr. Langley?
Well, I would love it if we talked about a little research study that we were involved in together. I feel like I was kind of moved towards a specific topic. It wasn't really one that I was searching out. It just came just by chance towards me. And so I felt drawn to it. And it is all about the things that motivate us to be in community choir and the things that motivate us to stay in community choir. And so that's where you came into play, because you were starting your Rise Chorales at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is just meant to be.
I think we were in our first full year. Yeah, it was totally meant to be. Now, for people listening that heard the word research and immediately turned off, no. We are going to tie all this academia research stuff back to real life. Don't worry. That's our job. But so you had this idea. What makes people, what motivates them to join community choir, and what gets them to stay? So those were your research questions?
Yes, primarily. Originally, I was looking at new organizations, but it kind of morphed to include those questions as well as we went along. That's just how qualitative goes. Because what I found so fascinating about the young women that were in Rise Chorales were that they had so many other musical outlets. Almost all of them were involved in music in schools. Many of them were in other community music making opportunities, and yet they sought out to be in this new organization. So to me, that says something is missing. These students are still seeking something else that we might not be able to provide in the other settings that they're in right now. And so that just fascinated me.
So you're talking like they were in school choir or community orchestras, or they had, I think we had some that were in musical theater on organizations. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did you go about the study once you kind of got in there? Tell us about the process.
Well, it was about 9 months of observing, and so I sat in on rehearsals. I spoke to nearly every young woman who was in the choir in focus groups. Let me tell you, if you ever wanted to type the word like a million times, then I highly recommend you interview middle school girls. but I got to talk to them, and it's just hilarious to listen to them communicate and explain their feelings. But I also got to talk to the parents and your staff as well. And so it kind of gave a full picture of what it is that they were drawn to, that Rise was providing, and what kept them there. And so it was just really interesting. And what I found most interesting is the amount of it that is not specifically musical.
Okay, so tell us some of these findings. What were your big takeaways? And then we'll full circle make it applicable.
Absolutely. So many of them are drawn to your organization, to another community choir, to either gain a skill. I want to be a better sight reader, or to be more independent as a singer, or a bigger tone, or something like that. But they ended up staying in Rise because of the social connections they made. Mm-hmm. So they felt like it was a place they belonged. They felt like it was a place where they felt comfortable because it was all girls. Mm-hmm. And they really valued the friendships that they formed just in Rise, specifically. Mm-hmm. And so the musical goals kind of took a back seat to the social benefit.
So the musical goals got them there, but the social elements is what kept them coming back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because eventually they meet some of those musical goals because they have fantastic instruction.
You are kind.
But they meet some of those musical goals. So if I've met that, what's to keep me here? It's a devotion to my friends. It's a relationship with the adults that are involved. It's a sense of collective identity that we formed. This is a special place. And so I'm going to come here, and I'm going to make it a special place for others.
So I'm excited. We just had our first rehearsal Monday, and I feel like I've had the afterglow of rehearsal all week, because it was just, I have all these flashbulb memories of their faces lighting up singing virtually.
Yeah.
And it's not the same type of community. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I love these girls so much. I'm very excited. Thank you for sharing all this. So
Absolutely.
You presented these findings in a really great presentation back in January, which seems like years ago.
Yeah.
But in January at the ACDA Children and Youth Choir Directors Retreat in Atlanta. And what I loved about that presentation were the applicable takeaways. So this was what you got from the girls you interviewed at RISE, but how does that impact our listener and their choir, whether they're a community choir or a school choir? What are the takeaways?
Right. And my experience was mostly in school choir. And so what I took away from it is we still need to help these students formulate a social connection in our choir rooms. I know often, you know, that bell rings and it's time for third period and you want to get started and take the roll and do your bell ringer and get started with warm-ups and make all the announcements. But at the same time, we need to make sure that the individual students in our class form a connection with others in that class, in that chorus class. Mm-hmm. It's just so important for them to have special, unique friendships that are music-based.
Yes. So. Special, unique friendships that are music-based. So one of the ways we used to do that when we were in person, face-to-face, was we would open our choir room 15 minutes early as a conversation place. We would have music playing on a big speaker, and the girls would come in and talk, and that was their moment to socialize, and it encouraged them to get there early. They would also share really great jams they wanted us to play during that social time. So we tried that this past Monday for our first virtual rehearsal, and I opened up the Zoom room. I closed off mine so they couldn't see me, so they had their own space to talk and chat, and I had Hamilton playing, and they were just – everybody was talking. The chat bar was blowing up. You could see them forming – they were introducing themselves to the new girls. It was so cool to see. But then as soon as I opened up my screen, they all were like, okay, I'm ready.
Of course.
And I'm like, oh, you guys are crazy.
Of course. Absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, it is just so timely that we talk about these relationships, because right now we might be in a time where we are limited in how much beautiful music we can make. Mm-hmm. But it is the time where we can focus our energy on building beautiful musical friendships.
Yes. I found that too in rehearsal. Like, we normally, you're so driven to get to that product. And yes, we all enjoy the process and it's my favorite part, but I do feel a little rushed occasionally. And there were times on Monday that we were able to sit back and really have conversations. And I love that about this time.
That is such a if we can find silver linings, which I think are important right now, you know, that's a silver lining. It's going to make us slow down. We are not driven by performance so much. We can go back and build these basics and build community. And, oh my gosh, it's so cliche, but I'm about to say it. We're all in this together in these challenging times.
But... can't say it without singing it. We're all in this together. Yes, that's the only rule. You can say it all you want, but you have to sing it.
Exactly. But, you know, and the hope is that we come out on the other end more connected to humans, more connected to each other, and drawn together by music making that we may have taken for granted.
Yes.
Yeah. And so.
So these are things we know, but you now have research to back it up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my research builds on other community choir research that says some similar things, that really the relationships that we build, and in fact, the relationships that we build teacher to student as well, are important. Mm-hmm. You know, many of these of these singers, especially middle school students that you're dealing with quite a bit, you know, they're at a time where parents are not the focus of their identity anymore, that they're switching to peer-based. But if we can have that guiding adult, you know, influence over them, we can help them come out of adolescence on the other side as well-rounded people and, you know, compassionate and caring. And that's what I see so much in RISE. And that's what I hope to embody in my own students. And what I hope to challenge all of you to consider as you move through this time as well.
Yes. And You have to come pop into one of our virtual rehearsals and see some of those middle school girls are now high school girls.
Oh my gosh.
And just see how they've come through that and they're articulate. One of the girls, we were talking about a song and you know how it felt to sing it, how it felt emotionally, what it made them think about. And one girl, I think she was a sixth grader when you interviewed her, and now she's ninth or 10th grade.
Oh, she goes,
I feel like this song opens the door for us to talk about diversity and inclusion. So can we have that conversation? I'm like, I didn't even say that, but you're genius. Yes. What would you like to talk about?
Wow.
And immediately the room, they are, you're going to have to come see the girls. They've all grown up and they're getting on the other side of adolescence.
Well, I'm thrilled. I would love to come and check in. Yay.
They are sweet. Well, I want to toss something at you. So as we've designed all these virtual models with Rise, we've had a lot of really great feedback from our community where they are seeking more opportunities for what you're saying, relationships, a singing family. So we've created a couple other Rise chorales, one for adults and one for guys. And I want to toss the guys one out to you. So officially it's called the Rise Young Men's Chorus, but we're calling it Rise Guys because why not?
I mean, it's right there. You can't avoid that.
It's right there. So it's a smaller ensemble. We only have half a dozen. And yes, singing is what brings us together, but we're kind of doing Bill Nye the Science Guy choir, where we're recording ourselves and doing all the audio engineering to make a choir out of our six voices and really digging into the theory behind it. And it's a little more project-based and their hands are more in it. So I'm feeling like I started that because of your research with how to build those relationships. Guys need to have something tangible to talk about. And instead of just sitting behind a screen where girls will emote behind the screen all day long with their, look at me, I can see myself. This gives the guy something tangible. So what are some other ideas as people are diving into hybrid or virtual or face-to-face? What are some other relationship building ideas or things that you've seen in other research that we could apply?
Right. I think a mentoring model might work well. So if you have more experienced singers who can then partner with younger singers or less experienced singers, that's something that could work really well. So my choirs, we've combined all of our choirs here at the university and then broken them up into little bitty ensembles who can rehearse at a safe distance and that sort of thing. But as another component to it, every singer this semester has an individual project that they're working towards. And so it's all personal based. They pick their own topic. So I have lots of these, you know, senior music ed majors ready to go out and conquer the world who are looking for some more experience. But then I also have brand new, never been in a choir before, non-majors who are in choir, who just, I feel like, want a place to be on campus. And so we're working to pair these up so they're forming that connection and that relationship, but then they're both also gaining from it. So this senior gains experience with working with an individual voice, and this brand new singer gets some free voice lessons and gets some training so that they can feel confident in their voice. Things like that. I'm super excited about seeing. What?
The mentor model. That's a fabulous idea. I can't wait to see it and hear it.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that it works out. We have some technology set up on campus where you can be in two rooms and video and Zoom, but there's no audio lag. So I know we have some genius music tech faculty. So they can still sing at a distance, but still make music together without any lag and live. So I'm super excited for that to start happening this week.
That is cool. So getting innovative and creative with whatever you have in front of you, but still looking at relationships in addition to the singing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is so helpful. Okay. I always let people at the end give their little nugget. What's the one thing that really matters that you want the listener to walk away with?
For me, this research kind of reminded me of what brought me into music and what keeps me here. David Langley, as a middle schooler, joined choir and band because it was the only place in middle school that I felt comfortable and safe. I was a tiny little person and knew that I was different in some way. But when I walked in the choir room or I walked in the band room, I felt like I could breathe because I was around my people. And so that's what brought me here, and making an atmosphere for others, for other tiny little middle school boys like myself to feel comfortable and safe. That's what keeps me here. So I know we're all going through a lot, but, for me, that's what I try and think of before I walk in the classroom or before I interact with my students. What brought me here and what keeps me here?
Yeah. This is perfect for right now. Thank you so much for sharing your research and making it applicable and tangible and usable right now.
Absolutely. Thank you for helping me to do it and for getting it out there for people to hear.
I'm really excited to see what you do next. I know you'll be back on the show at some point, but it was great to see you and talk to you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Emmy.
Make a space. Create an atmosphere where your singers feel their best selves. That atmosphere, that space, it's going to look different for everyone. But take this time right now, find that silver lining, and enjoy the slowdown. Enjoy the process. Soak up these opportunities to watch those singers glow and explore and find their most authentic self in your space. Walk into that Zoom room or that flipped hybrid classroom and remember what brought you here and what keeps you coming back and how can you inspire and offer that to your singers. Here you have a great example of academic research making our world a better place. Thank you so much, Dr. Langley. Thank you for listening. And remember, what you are doing matters. You matter. We all know that music matters. And I'll see you next time on the Music Matters Podcast.